morning, and welcome to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen? Praise God. I tell you what, I am so thankful for each of you that have joined with us this morning, and I'm just thankful for the goodness of God. And what's exciting today is that not only do you guys get to hear me preach at you and do all that, but today is very special because we get to have our children's Christmas program. Amen? Woo. So I'm always excited about the opportunity we get to have our children share with us. But today, I just want to be thankful that we have the grace of God on our life. Amen? And that we get to celebrate and just appreciate the goodness of God and the worship of God. And this morning, we just want to join together. And I want you to know something, that each of your voices during worship is important. We're not just up here with a worship team. I want you to know that the Bible says that we should lift our voices. I want you to know that the Lord says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So God is here this morning wanting to embrace you as you worship him. Amen? So let's just join together and let's just walk in the blessing of the goodness of God. Amen?
Amen. Now stand on your feet with us this morning. Join us at Joy to the World.
Of his love and Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love, the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I've never heard of. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you can provide, 'cause you know. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Call us deeper still as you call us, deeper still as you call us, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are
so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. Yeah, when we don't deserve them, you take the broken things and raise them to glory. 'Cause you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I'm seated with the one who is confident. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving see. And this is my victory. You are my champion. And giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Stop praying.
in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all, as you are my champion.
I've got to get that in you this morning.
And giants fall when you stand undefeated, every battle you won. Crown me with confidence, I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. 'Cause you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated, every battle you won.
You are my champion.
When you do this, you will seek me first in all things. Put me first in all things. For when you put me first, that releases my hands of blessings, that releases my hands to fully work on your behalf. Put me first. Amen. Amen.
Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Jesus, come on. My anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation, he'll never let me down. And I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground.
God. Amen. I tell you what, he just refreshes us, strengthens us. This is the reason why God calls us to come together, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. Amen. And God does many great things within his Amen. Time and our lives. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Today's an exciting day. We're going to have our kids in with us.
Yes.
And they're going to hit on a probably a little bit more scaled down than what we've been used to because yes. of all the things that have been going yes. on and the, you know, it's hard to get them in here to practice sometimes. So, but it will be good.
Amen. Praise God.
This is one of my favorite, one of.
Amen.
The other one's coming yes. up on the 24th. Yes. So I'm excited. Hallelujah. I'm excited for today.
Which make sure on the 24th that you remember that during that service, we are going to have some special singing and some special things as well. So it's going to be powerful.
Candlelight communion. It starts at 6:30, not at 7. It's a Thursday night, so you have to remember that starts at 6:30.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you got any announcements or anything that you want to make?
Other than the Christmas Eve service? Nope, I'm good.
Amen.
You had the
I do want to announce the fact that we had our first men's Christmas party yesterday. Woo! Wow. Whoa. You talk about a time of celebration. I will tell you that I don't know if we played the game right because
you played a game.
Yeah, we. But
you
we,
did.
But we didn't. We didn't do it right because not one gift got exchanged. Everybody just took what they received and kept it. Praise God.
You all were nice.
Of course, mine was food, so you know I was.
Miss Linda wasn't so nice at ours.
Hallelujah.
Actually,
I wasn't either.
And the other thing that us guys figured out is that next year we've already started the planning committee, and we've already come to a word of wisdom that's powerful. That next year we're gonna schedule on the same day.
This is what he said.
Right after the ladies.
This is what he said. He said, "We've got a plan for next year that I think will work better." And in 2 seconds, I said, "You're going to have yours right after ours, aren't you? Because they're going to steal all of our stuff."
Woo,
that's
right.
Wisdom, though. I have to give it to you.
We're going to let you guys decorate and set up. And we're going to come in just in time to finish off the food and spend a little time together.
And then you're going to bless those ladies that take care of all that, too.
Amen. But we did have a great time,
amen.
I'll tell you. Right, guys that were here? Woo, we enjoyed it.
Good.
So that's hilarious. All right. I think at this time we're going to change and we're going to let... Where did he go?
He's already getting the kids ready. So if you
want to... He ran away.
Okay, so let's go ahead. We'll do offering right now. And I want to remind you that in the Bible, the offering covenant has went on before the law. I want to remind you that even before the law, the tithe and offering covenant and giving to God was first established in the book of Genesis, but I like to remind ourselves that when Jesus was born, one of the things that happened was wise men, men of renown and men of notability at that time, sought him out. And I want to remind you that the first thing the wise men did in their pursuit of Christ was what? They brought gifts. And they worshiped him and they brought gifts. Why? Because even when Jesus was a babe in the manger, they knew that coming and blessing him and putting their trust in him was establishing a new and powerful way that would be greater than what they had done up till that time. Amen? So this morning, we're just going to take our offering in reverence to Jesus, and we're just going to come forward and remind ourselves of the blessing of our Savior. Amen? That the Lord says that as you give, it shall be given back. And I remind each and every one of you that when you make your covenant with God, he says, "I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf." He says, "I will open up the windows of heaven." God says he will protect your seed, both your body and what you put your hands to. God will protect what is in your house and in your life as you trust him in this area. Amen? So I'm just going to pray, and then you can bring your offering forth. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your blessing, God. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your covenant. Just one of your many promises, God, is that as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse, God, you will take care of us. You will bless us, God. You will rebuke the devourer. God, you will increase what we have, Father. Lord, when we let you into our life, Father, in this area, the things we have will last longer, go further, and be powerful to provide, God, because that is who you are. And Lord, we just thank you for your hand upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
preacher, hold on. I think someone else is coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I think. I think.
Hello.
Hello, Red Mike.
Red Mike.
Hallelujah.
Let's Blue see. Mike, you guys ready? They got something special for you.
Okay, are we ready to go? Woo!
All we asked is for this part, first part, if nobody could get up and move around, they have a special way they're going to be coming in.
Praise God. All right, well, with no further ado, and I do want to remind you that at the end of service, we do already have some prayer requests, so we're going to be praying and doing some things, and we're going to take a few minutes to pray for the nation at the end of service, but right now, we're going to get out of the way and let these kids come. Aww. Bum, bum. Mm-hmm. Bum, bum, bum.
Welcome to our extraordinary Christmas program, where we show you the remarkable time our Savior was born.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Wonderful means inspiring delight, admiration, extremely good, and marvelous. Mighty means possessing great and impressive power or strength. Everlasting means lasting forever or for a very long time. That day was so miraculous that no one could stop the plan that God had put in place.
And it came to the pass in these days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place in Quirinus, the governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because of the house in the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, these days were complicated for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn.
Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and now, and on good, and on earth peace, goodwill toward."
So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds had sent one another, "Let us now to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made it known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made him widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all to those who heard it I've learned at all at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were complete for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
In the book of Matthew, it tells us that the wise men saw the star in the east and came to worship Jesus. They bought him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and symbolizing his kingship on earth, his denial, and his upcoming death. Oh, what a glorious time that was.
Wasn't that a mighty day when Jesus Christ was born? Jesus didn't stay in the manger. He grew, but not just specifically. The Bible says he grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man.
Jesus was committed to his cause. He had challenges and faced everything that we have encountered, but he endured to the end, all because he loves you so much.
Amen. Luke 19:10 says, He seeks to save. The question is, will you seek him in return? The manger is beautiful and super important, but remember what he did on Calvary that freed us from sin and death, healed us, set us free, and gives us eternity with him. It's about the cross.
for coming to our program, and I'll hope you pray today is that you keep the true meaning of Christmas in your heart. Celebrate Jesus.
Use this one.
Wait, was that supposed to be on the whole time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, guys, hopefully you enjoyed our Christmas program that was for the Lord himself and for each one of you, just to bless you guys and to say thank you and to just give thanks to God, even though the year's been a little different, a little challenging, probably to say the least, but God's still good. Jesus still came. He still lived his perfect life. He still died on the cross, and he is risen. And we have a Savior, and we are celebrating that today. So we want to thank you guys again, and we want to turn over to Pastor Phil and let him share a great word that will minister to you,
amen,
all right?
Amen.
Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to spend a few minutes with you here. Praise God. Following just up on what the children have shared with us already. And last week we were looking at the Bible and the fact that our message was God with us and God in us. And I just want to make sure that during this time of year that we give ourselves the opportunity to know God the way that he would want us to know him. Amen? Reminding ourselves that in Matthew 19:26, each service we've been talking about the fact that the Bible says that with men, things are impossible. But with God, all things become possible. And this morning, I just want to make sure that just like these children, when I saw those children up here, first of all, parents and grandparents, I want to thank you for your input into these children. And I want to just thank God that at such an early age, you are bringing them up in the knowledge of God. Amen? The Bible says this to us, that if you raise a child up, even when he's older, even if a child would walk away from God, there is something about putting the seed of Jesus in them at an early age that will call them back. And I pray that some of us in here today, if you have not been walking with God, that you would allow what's happening with these children and allow what's touching your heart today to call you back into relationship with God. Amen? I thank God that he says nothing is impossible, so it doesn't matter how long we have lived without serving him. I'm telling you that in a moment of time, you can call upon the name of the Lord and you can be saved. Amen? And I just want to share a few minutes with you some things out of the Word of God, and we're just going to look here at Matthew. Amen. Just to kind of bring us back into this time where we celebrate the life of the Lord. Amen? And it says that in Matthew 23, it says, verse 22, Matthew 1:23 says this, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen? And I want each and every one of you to know today that God expects to be a part of your life on an everyday basis. God expects to intervene for you and with you, and God wants to make sure that we are making room for him to do what he does in our life. Amen? I want to share with you out of the book of John, out of the book of John chapter 14, and I want to let you see what the Lord said when he was here on earth concerning the whole reason why he was here, what he intended to do for us, and what his word was to us. And in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." I think it is exceedingly important for us as people, and most importantly, for us as Christians, to recognize the fact that Jesus said, "I am coming," because he wanted to repair a gap between God and man. The Lord himself, God himself, after the fall of man in the garden, and we were separated from God through the sin of Adam, God said that he would prepare a way for us. Why was he preparing a way for us? Because he wanted to reconnect us with himself. Amen? That's why Jesus' name, one of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. What does that mean? That the Lord sent Jesus to walk among mankind, and he humbled himself and became in the form of a man to walk amongst us, just to show us how close God wanted to walk with us every day. It is critical for us to read the scriptures and see them, because what we see when we read is the fact that Jesus made sure that he gave many examples in the Bible where he interceded day to day in people's lives. Jesus made sure that from the fever all the way to the grave, that he touched and showed how he brings life. Amen? In one scripture, he touched Peter's mother-in-law who just had a fever, but then we can also go to where the cry was made for him, and he came unto Lazarus, who was already dead, and cried out and made a way. Why? Because the Lord is intent on showing us that no matter what goes on in your life and where you are, he is going to make a way, even if it seems impossible to mankind. He is with us every day, and the Lord wants to intervene in our life on a day-to-day basis. And what better time for us to celebrate the goodness of the Lord and what he intends to do in our life than during this Christmas season? You know what's so powerful? I was looking at each and every one of these beautiful little children as they were up here participating, and I was thanking God that at their young age, their parents, their grandparents, those that love them, are already encouraging them in the ways of the Lord. Because I promise you that your children, even at their young age, the awareness they have for God, it's already making a difference. Amen? And I promise you that as you seek God and as you live for God, I'm telling you that you will protect your children and you will protect your families from many of the things that they could go through in this life. Amen? And for each of you who has had your life impacted or have your child impacted by things that are not good, I promise you that nothing is impossible to God. Amen? And I promise you that God will start right where you are, because he is God that is with us. You know, I thank God for Jesus coming, because he just demonstrates the intensity in which our God loves us. And he demonstrates the reach that God would go towards humanity. You know, so many times, as in the corporate way, mankind has turned away from God, but so many times us as individuals have turned away from God, but you know what? The Lord still reaches towards us, amen? I know that each one of us has had times where we have not been on as fire as we should be, amen? Each of us can look back at our life, even before we knew God, where we were backslidden or just plain away from God, not living for him. But it did not stop the tenaciousness of God coming and God pursuing us. Amen? And I just want to share with you today the fact that God is with us. And the Lord is with us in every situation that we face. You know, right now, there's so much concern in the world and so many people are shaken, but I want you to know you can just look at the Bible and you can see story after story, generation after generation, where times would come, where things would be shaken up, but God always made a way, even when it didn't look like there could be a way. Amen? I'm going to share with you. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. I'm going to share with you the fact that there is a story in the book of Daniel, and there are three young men that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in this Bible, and this is not just a made-up story. This is not a parable or something that did not happen. This is something that actually took place. And I want you to know that in the book of Daniel chapter 3, you're going to find that there was a king, Nebuchadnezzar, that came in charge, and there was a group of people around him that was influencing him. And before you know it, they convinced the king that he was so powerful that he should make a golden image and he should do things his own way, and the king should set up a god or gods that they could serve. And what they did was they set up a golden image, and it says in the word that they put out a decree that when music was played and they had the harp and the cymbal and all these things, it says that when the musical orchestra came forth to play, that everybody was supposed to serve this golden image. But I want you to know something, that as Christians today, as we celebrate this time in which Jesus was born to take away the sins of the world, and that when we celebrate the fact that no matter what's going on in the world today, there is a way that we live that does not change. And I want you to know that, thank God, there was three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the Bible declares that it came known to the king that these three young men, these Jewish leaders, they were in leadership, and he said that, hey, king, we need you to know that these guys are not bowing. When we play the music, they refuse to bow to the golden image that was set up for them. And all of a sudden, the king heard about this, and he became infuriated. So we're just going to look at a couple things here, because it says that in verse 15, the king said, now if you be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to him, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, I thought what is beautiful, because the children sang a song that said that, hey, even though there's a lot of good things we celebrate, we put a tree up and we do our Christmas music and some of us watch Hallmark movies, amen? But anyhow, we do a lot of different things during this time. But in all of that, it said, do not lose sight of the fact that we're here for the sake of the cross, amen? Do not lose sight of the fact that we're here for Jesus, who is God with us, that demonstrates what we believe and what we stand for. And I think it's interesting, because we think that the times we're going through are so different and so significant. In many ways, they are. I mean, especially for us in America, for us to be facing some of the things we're facing and seeing some of the things that go against the way of God and go against the way we would like to see them. For us, it seems so unique. We act like it has never happened before. But if we would just read the Bible, we would see that societies, even the place where God was reigning, just like this, there comes times where kings and leaders and people turn their back on God, turn turn away to other things. And we see right here in this scripture in the book of Daniel that this was a season that these three young men were living at a time where a king raised up and said, hey, we should put our trust, we should put our value in other things and other gods. And so we act like we're living so unique, and in many ways we are, but at the same time, it is clear in the Bible that these young men had to stand up with a boldness that said, King, listen, I don't care if it's relevant, I don't care if it's progressive, I don't care if it looks good that in today's world you want to serve other kings and raise up idols, but no matter what's going on in the world, this is what's true for me. For us, Jesus is Lord, God is the only way, and we're going to stand on what we believe. Amen? And what we see here is that these three young men were not just serving God for their own benefit. These three young men were not just saying, hey, if my life is blessed, if things are going my way, if I got money in the bank and I get to do what I want, I'm going to serve God then. These three young men, even when pressure was coming upon them, where their life was at risk for what they believed, they stood up. See, I want you to know, if you feel like there's some pressure on your life, if you feel like the world is a scary place, if you feel all these things, I'm telling you that there comes a point in time in every Christian's life where you have to say and you have to be committed to the fact that if things work out the way I want them to, if things are the way I always envision them, I will stay with the Lord. No, no, no. You have to be willing to know that even if your way of life and even if what you believe begins to be persecuted, are you strong enough in that situation to stand up and stay where you belong? Are you strong enough? If it really came down to the point where your life was at risk, would you be willing, like these three young men said, Lord, listen. They said, King, we're not careful. In other words, they're saying, we're bold to tell you this. We're not tip-throwing through the tulips. We're not trying to make you feel right about it. We're not trying to make you feel glad about it. But what we need you to know, King, is that we can't serve your false God no matter what pressure you put on us. You know, there ought to be some convictions. There ought to be enough love that you can deal with other people having their own opinions, having their own thoughts. I think it's so interesting because at this time where all this was going on, I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't speak against anybody else. They didn't argue with anybody else. But they made sure that what they did was pleasing to God. Amen? And I want you to know that, Christians, you have to have love and mercy and grace for people that think differently than you. You have to have mercy and grace for people that don't see the same as you. But one thing you should do, instead of speaking so much on Facebook and speaking so much with negativity, our lifestyle should be on such review that we don't even have to say anything. It was other men that brought a report to this king and said, King, we want you to know something. These three men are not bowing to your God. You know, Christians, I want you to know that I want you to be bold. I want you to be vocal. I want you to say you're a Christian. I want you to be willing to pray for people and do all that. But also, there should be a voice about your life that you don't even have to put out there. I want you to know, stories was told about Christ without him having to do anything except for be who he was. Remember, there's scripture that says, wow, man, these guys look like ignorant and common men. They looked as ordinary as anybody else, but when you saw them, you could just tell they had been with Jesus. I want you to know that there ought to be a voice about your life where people are saying, hey, that's someone who has God with them. If I need prayer, I know where to go. Hey, that's someone who knows the Lord. I have saw enough in their life that when I need God, I know where to go because I can tell they have been with Jesus. You know, if I went to your workplace, would the first thing the people tell me about you is, hey, so-and-so's a Christian. If I went to your house, would the first thing your family would say about you is, hey, they serve God. If I was around your friends, is the first thing that I would hear about you is that you serve God, because the first thing the king heard about these three men is, hey, with these guys, you know where their faith is and where they believe. You know, this is such a season that we should be reverencing, celebrating who Jesus is, what God has done, and how significant it is that we get to know Jesus Christ as Lord. I want you to know that Jesus spoke of a time where people would be blind to the truth. And I tell you what, there are people that it seems that they are blind to the truth, but thank God that you're not, but walk in who you are as a Christian. Amen? I want you to know something, that these three young men stood so strong for what they believed that they didn't get delivered out of the problem. See, sometimes Christians will believe when things are good. But when pressure comes, they will back up, back down, or sometimes they even regress from believing in what they believed in. But thank God, when the heat raised up, the king did not even address these young men with respect or kindness. It says that he was infuriated. And I want you to know something, that he promised them that he was going to throw them in the fire. And guess what? He didn't even let the fire burn low. He didn't even let it be just a little bit. It says that the king was so infuriated that he increased the intensity of the fire. He increased the intensity of the fire so much that the people that put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, guess what? They actually died putting them in the fire. But what's so powerful here is that, oh, I got to tell you one other thing that you're going to love. You're going to rejoice when I share this with you. The powerful thing is that these three men were put in the fire. And I want you to know something. The Bible is very specific. It says that he put all their clothes on them. It's like he put extra clothes around them and really made sure that they had something that the fire could attach to and burn. But here's what's so interesting, is they went into that fire, and as they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, the king was astonished, and he rose up with haste and ran towards it and spake to the counselors and said, hey, I thought we cast three in the fire, but I see four. Woo, come on. He said, that fourth one has the likeness of the Son of God, God with you. Listen, I want you to know something, that when this life beats against you the hardest, when you suffer for what you believe, when you suffer because of integrity's sake, when you suffer because of faith's sake, when your relationships are forsaken because you tell people, hey, I want to serve God, and people say, hey, I didn't get in this relationship with you to have to go to church and to put up with all this God stuff. I want you to know something, that sometimes when this stuff is beating up against you and you suffer for God, I want to remind you that you are never in that situation by yourself. When that fire is heated up, when things are going against you, I want you to know that that's when the Lord is with you more than ever. Amen? Yeah. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I got to share some other good news with you. Because it says that in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Huh. Guess what? These guys weren't in the fire for just a second. They weren't in there for just a minute. I mean, it took some time for the king to see them in the fire, for the king to seek other counsel about it, and for the king to come. And you know what? They stayed in the fire until the king asked them to come out. Oh, come on. Whew. See, sometimes you want the heat of the battle to be over in a millisecond. sometimes we're ready to stand with God the first 45 minutes something comes on us. But let it last a day. Let it last a week. Let it last a few months. Heaven forbid, I thank God that most of us, I pray, don't have to be like the woman of issue of blood who had to last 12 years. Oh, come on. Boy, I thought I'd hear shouting now. Woo! I'll shout by myself because I want you to know something, that sometimes you might not come out of the fire as quick as you thought. Sometimes it might not be as easy as you thought. It might not be over in the first few minutes. It might not be over in the first little bit. Well, I believe God. Well, then go ahead and stand. I believe God. Well, go ahead and stand. And when you've done all, stand there with until you hear, come forth, because you will be called to come up out of your situation. I'm telling you that we need to make sure, especially in today's environment, we need to make sure that we're not standing lightly in what we believe. I mean, we need to make sure that it's not a time where we are easily offendable. We need to make sure that it's not a time where we can be easily shaken. We need to make sure that it's not a time where we can easily pull back, because we've got to remember that God said, not only will I dwell with you, but I will be in you. Amen? You know, it's amazing, because when these young men stuck to their guns, it was proven to the king that he said, listen, I'm going to bring these young men forth, and I tell you what, I'm not going to accept anyone speaking against them in their God. In fact, I want you to know Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel all received promotion after the lion's den and after the burning fire. And I want you to know that that king said, there is no God that can deliver like their God. Amen. See, what we cannot afford to do is cause any compromise or any giving up to be in our heart, because I want you to know something. There is no God that keeps, protects, and delivers like your God does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that I just want to share something with you that Jesus himself spoke unto his disciples, and what he expected out of them in the middle of every situation of life. And it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. I want you to know something, that we can never forget that the word of God says that our God knows the end from the beginning. I want you to know something, that, you know, God may not know, and I think that he gives you a moment of grace, because you're not a puppet on a string. You have your own free will. So God has to give you moments where you get to make your decision. But the minute you make a decision, God knows the end from the beginning. And God will give you the outcome of grace and mercy if you would just repent and ask for forgiveness. Amen? Or if you make the right decision, God already flows with you, right? Because God says, I have no evil thoughts for you. I already know the outcome I have for you. It's to bring you to a place of blessing and to bring you into a future. That's what God's word says in Jeremiah 29:11. But I want you to understand something, that the Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. And you know why that's so critical? Because God always has the last word. Yeah. Woo, amen. Hallelujah. He says, my word will not return to me void, but it will go forth. And that's what I love about this scripture, because it says that Jesus